Welcome to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. We are here for you to know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New York City and beyond. Please check out our Facebook and Instagram at Every Nation NYC and enjoy the message.
Hello, Every Nation. My name is Nathan, and my great pleasure and privilege is to be bringing the message to you today. I've been praying for you that today this would not be just a message that you hear, but something that God ministers to you. And so if you would, prepare your hearts, your homes, turn your phones off, turn off the distractions. Let's press in to God's word. I believe that he wants to speak to you today. We've been in a series called Living It. And our heart for this series is that as we study the book of Acts together, that this would not just be words that we hear, messages that we can agree with, good factoids that we can store in our library of God facts, but that it would be a moment that catalyzes you into action, that we would not be hearers just of God's word, but we would be doers, and that the early church would provide a model for us as a church to go out and do the things of God, that we would be activated in our faith. And today we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 12, where Peter gets arrested, and the church prays. Peter's arrested, but there was a church that prayed. Let's dive in. We're looking at Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. If you got a Bible, go find it. Get that thing. Open it up. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 7. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And he saw that it pleased the Jews, and he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him. Each squad would have contained about four soldiers that would have been to watch him all day long, so they would have been on shifts to guard and watch Peter to ensure he cannot escape. Put him in prison, delivered him over to four squads to guard him, intending that after the Passover, to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayers were being made to God by the church. Peter's in prison, but there's a praying church. It starts with Peter in prison. And not just at any time of the year, but at Passover. Let's remember back. What has happened at Passover? Just probably 10, 11 years earlier, their friend, their Savior, their Lord, Jesus, had been caught, betrayed by friends, captured, put through a mock fake kangaroo court trial, falsely accused, brutally beaten, and then savagely hung on a cross to die. It was just a number of years, maybe 10 years, 11 years before this moment, they had witnessed Jesus go through this same thing. Here, Herod is intending to bring him out after the Passover, what? To present him to the people. What is this for? For trial, for execution. They had just put James to the sword, just killed James. A couple chapters earlier, we read about the stoning of Stephen. What's happening here? The people of God are experiencing an onslaught, an attack, and it has the ability to imprison them, to shut them down, to press them down, and for them not to do the things that God is calling them to do. Can you imagine if this was happening in our church family? Pastor Kaz caught, stoned, Pastor Nathan imprisoned, put to the sword, Pastor Shino, you know, being persecuted, locked in his home, pressed away. Can you imagine this happening to your friends, to your family members, to people that you know? This was sending shockwaves of turmoil through the church. They're probably still somewhat traumatized. Yes, Jesus had gotten up from the dead, but my gosh, watching somebody be crucified, you don't come back from that quickly. Yeah, he got up from the dead. I mean, we sing about it. We're praising God. Thank you, Jesus, drinking his blood. This was a very real, very scary, even traumatic experience for the early church. we read, you know, James was put to the sword. This is their friend, hacked down on the street, his blood freely flowing, and people rejoicing at this. This was a terrifying time. And then Peter is put in prison. Peter is locked up, not for doing the wrong thing, but in fact for doing the right thing. When we think about our Christian life and how God has called us to advance, how God has called us to perform the actions that he's asking us to do, to live holy, to live righteous, to share the gospel, to do justice and love mercy, to effect change in our society. There's a number of things that could lock us up. And often when we think of Christians being in bondage, we think about sin. We think about things that we are enslaved to, habits, patterns, looking at stuff you shouldn't look at, being locked up in unforgiveness, being locked up in fear. But here Peter is locked up, not for in fear, not in sin patterns, not for being in unforgiveness, but he's locked up for doing what was right. Locked up for what was right. And as I think about our church, I know that there are so many people praying and interceding and pressing in and following God and believing for what is right. But we can experience a level of arrested development where no matter how hard we try, we can't make it to the next level. No matter what we do, we cannot seem to press through. We can't seem to get the financial breakthrough that we need in order to be a blessing. We can't get the next step, the next piece of the puzzle in order to advance the plot on what God has called us to. There's a sense that the enemy has come to arrest the call of God on your life. I know a number of people that are experiencing this in our church. And I'm sure that there are many more that I don't know about. There is a real enemy that truly does not want you to succeed in the thing that God has called you to. And friends, if you are right now experiencing an arrestedness in the plot and plan of God, if you feel like you're circling the mountain the umpteenth time and you're like, God, I don't have energy for this anymore. I want to quit. I want to throw in the towel. I don't want to do this anymore. That does not mean that you are on the wrong path. In fact, it might mean that you're on the right path. An arrestedness does not signal that God is not there. An arrestedness simply means that there is a real enemy that wants to stop you. And so, friends, my word to you today is don't give up. The prison is real. The prison is real, and I've experienced it personally where we're going around and I'm going around and I cannot seem to break through. But all that means is that there's a real enemy that's trying to stop you. I remember there was this moment when I had recently become a pastor. I started pastoring a church in Edinburgh, Scotland when I was 26 years old. And it wasn't but a year or two into my ministry there that a number of senior ministers hurt me and hurt Elsa and hurt our church. And there were rumors spreading about me in that church. And the church was going through a very difficult time financially as well. And it felt in that moment like there was no hope, like there was no escape. Like I was locked into circumstances for which there is no clear path out of. And that even if God were to miraculously provide, even if the finances were there, even if somehow my soul could get healed, even if somehow the people who hurt us came back and repented to us, that it was still in my mind, I could picture these things happening, but I'm still just so done. I'm still so tired. And I remember each week, scraping myself up off the floor, dragging my raggedy self into the pulpit and delivering a word. And each week, God's presence and power would come upon me and I would deliver a word in faith. And then I would step out of that moment and fall flat on my face again. And I was like, God, I can't do this any longer. I don't know where your help is going to come from. What I needed in that moment and what Peter needed in his moment of arrest, and what you need in your moment of circling the mountain and arrested development. It's all the same thing. We need a touch from God. Often we can think that we need to work it out ourselves. That if we work hard enough, that if we have the right connection, if we only had the finances, if we only had that word from somebody that we were waiting on, like a repentance or an apology, then our hearts would be made whole, made right. Maybe Peter was thinking, man, I just need Herod, this really bad dude, to change his heart. I don't know what you're looking to today, but my encouragement is let's look past the circumstantial changes that we would desire and onto God. Let's look past what we're hoping for, maybe even what we're praying for, and just say, God, a touch from you is what I need. Let's look at what happens with Peter. Verse 6. Now, when Herod was about to bring him out, and that's not out of prison, that's out in front of the people to hold a mock trial to execute him. When Herod was about to bring him out in front of the Jewish people, on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in his cell. And he struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. Peter was touched. Obviously, there's a difference between God and an angel, but there was a messenger. Angel literally means messenger in the Greek. There was a messenger from God who hits him in the side to wake him up. He says, "Get up." And the chains fall off of him. Bound with two chains, they fell off at the word and the command of God by his messenger. What we need is a touch from God. What we need is a word from God. And the power of a word from God, let's not underestimate the power of a word of God. Let's remember that everything that we're standing on right now is the word of God. Literally, God's word spoke forth, "Let there be light," and there was light. "Let there be terra firma," there's terra firma. "Let there be breath in their lungs," there's breath in our lungs. "Let them have brains and synapses and beauty and reasoning," and that's what we experience here today is nothing but the word of God. The word of God has literally brought you everything that you know. You are saved by the word. You were born of the word. You were brought into faith by the word of God. God's word is what we've stood on. God's word is what has birthed us physically and of the spirit. We've continued this far by nothing but the grace of God, the goodness of God that has been brought to us at free cost. It's what's got us this far. And it's grace that's going to bring us out. The words from Amazing Grace ring in my ears. "'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and it's grace that will bring me home." You've been brought here all the way by the grace of God. In Edinburgh, when I was in this dark place of picking myself up and the bottom falling out time and time again, it was grace that had brought me there that far. Grace that had saved me, grace that had birthed me, grace that had brought me into that nation, grace that had made me a pastor, grace that had led me that far. What did I need now? I needed grace. What do you need now? God has spoken to you. God has saved you. God has brought you out. God has brought you to this video. It's by his grace that you're here watching over this camera, connected to YouTube, connected to your TV or to your phone. It's the grace of God that he's able to minister to you right now. This is the grace of God that's brought you this far. What do you need is your next move? It's the grace of God. It's a fresh touch from God. It's a fresh word from heaven. In that dark moment of my soul, I remember thinking I needed so many different things. The truth of the matter is I just needed a touch, a word, a revelation from God. I was in a counseling appointment with an old pastor friend, pouring out my heart. We were at a conference in Orlando. We're gearing up for another conference in Orlando, another Every Nation conference. And I was pouring out my heart to him on a Saturday night in his hotel room, Meanwhile, the conference was going for it downstairs. It was a worship night. People were pouring out their praise to God, but I was in a room in a counseling appointment, hoping for something from this good old pastored friend. And I was pouring out my heart, saying, every time I pick myself up, the bottom falls out again. I'm going around the mountain time and time again. I cannot catch a break. What do I need? Give me the wisdom. Give me the advice. And he prays for me, and I was kind of nice. I leave there thinking, I just can't go on. I can't keep doing this. And I walked from that moment into that worship moment in the conference. And I had missed all the worship. My brother had saved me seats on the second row, and I'd fought off so many people, and people were mad at him for reserving seats for what seemed to be nobody was coming. And I took up my seat on the second row, and the conference, the music moment seemed to grind to a halt as one of the prophets in our movement got up on stage. And he said, tonight, these are the words that were spoken through this man in that evening. He said, tonight, there's a recommissioning moment for people who are for international missionaries. God is wanting to recommission you and send you freshly back to your nation. For many of you, you felt like the bottom of your soul keeps falling out, that you pick yourself up off the ground only for the bottom to fall out again. You feel like you've circled the mountain time and time again, but tonight God is giving you a fresh word to go and to walk in his grace and to go reach your nation. There's a fresh commissioning. And I'm sitting there hearing this going, those are the exact words I just used in the hotel room upstairs. And now God is speaking them back to me. Friends, God has heard your silent prayers. God has heard your loud cries at night. God has heard the tears that you've wept that have seeped into your pillows at night. God has seen it. God has heard it. God knows your thoughts. And God wants to speak to you today a fresh word from heaven. There's something that Nathan cannot do. There's something that a church cannot do. There's something that only a word from heaven can do. And he wants to speak it to you today. Don't underestimate a word from God. Stop looking 1,000 different places, reading every blog post, hoping and praying that that finances are going to come. Look first, seek first, hope first in the Lord. Let's recenter. Let's regroup. Let's regather. There's a fresh word from God for you today. He's going to wake you up in a fresh way. There was a fresh touch from God. But that wasn't all that there was surrounding Peter. There was also a praying church. What can we do practically, Nathan? Great, a word from God. That sounds great. What can we do practically? Here's what you can practically do. Pray. I said pray. Don't underestimate. How dare we underestimate the power of God? How dare we underestimate prayer? Why is prayer our last resort? Why is prayer something that we go, all I've got is prayer. All you've ever had is prayer. All you've ever lived on is the word of God. All you've ever walked in is grace. Why do we now make him the last resort rather than looking at him first? All we've ever had is prayer. All we've ever needed is a relationship with God. That's why you were made. You're like, but I want to achieve. There's no achievement that's better than a relationship with God. There's no purpose that's deeper. There's nothing that's more fulfilling. How dare we treat him like chopped liver when he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? All I've got left, it's all you've ever had. And the good news is he so loves you. He wants to meet with you in prayer. Pray, cry out. Get alone with him. Go for a walk. Whatever it takes, you get yourself into the presence of God. You know this by now, but I want to say it to you again. Every day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 6 a.m., we're on the prayer line. Text this number that's on your screen. Text prayer call to that number, and you're going to get a Zoom link back and a prayer and the link for your phone back. Right into your text messages, join us. But it's early. I know it's early. For some it's early, for some it's late. Listen, here's what I know. Most people are free at 6 a.m. Jesus is more fulfilling than your pillow. It's time. Jesus is going to lift you higher than an extra hour or two of sleep. Jesus is what you need, not another bit of sleep. You've tried that. Not another conference. You've tried that. Not another appointment. You've tried that. I'm not knocking anything else, but here's the thing. Start with the first things first. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. If you've not been working to get yourself in the presence of God, then you've neglected your Alpha. You've neglected your source. You've neglected the things that should come first. Peter had a praying church around him. And friends, I want this church, Every Nation NYC, to be your praying church around you. This week we were on the prayer line and God just started answering prayers. It was amazing hearing the testimonies come out of people. For one, guys, we've been praying for it, and Every Nation NYC, we are our venue. Our AM venue at 60th and Amsterdam is opened back up to us to meet in again starting later this summer. We look forward to bringing you all the details, but God has been answering our prayers. There was another woman on the prayer call just the other day. She heard this and said, I've got to interrupt. I've got good news. She walked us through some of her career background, how she had done all these random, seemingly random things, and how they were never tied together. But in this moment, in this season, God has brought her a career, a brand new job offer that sums up stuff from art, stuff from grocery stores, stuff from all sorts of different bits and pieces, writing and leading blogs. All this seemingly random stuff came together in one job for this woman on our prayer. God wants to answer prayers. Why is prayer our last resort? Why is turning to God all we've got? He's first, and He loves you, and you were made for Him. Let's cry out to Him in prayer. This church can be your praying church. Not just to get you into prayer, but also to pray for you. Man, let's not go through a crisis alone. Let's not go through a battle alone. Let's not let your next experience of that prison moment, of going around the mountain another time, of arrested development, don't you dare do it alone. You were designed to live and walk with God and walk with community. And here at Every Nation NYC, we're here for you to know God, to grow together, to discover your purpose, and to make a difference, to be free to do the things that God has called you to do. Join us. Get with us. Don't just watch us. Participate. Live it. Get on a 6 a.m. prayer call. But there's 5 of them. Choose one. Start with one. I love Mondays. Love to kick off my week on Monday in prayer. Tuesday is also good. Wednesday is great. Thursday, Friday, just get in there. Just get in there. It's going to be good. Finally, when we've received a word from God, when God has touched our life, you can come off that mountain moment, but what do you do next? Good for you, Pastor Nathan. God met with you at a conference. That sounds really powerful, but that was not where the story ended. That was a phenomenal moment. God heard my prayers. God answered my call. I heard a fresh word from heaven to recommission me. This maybe is a fresh word from heaven for you to recommission you in what God has called you to do, to free you from your arrest, to free you from circling that mountain again. But there's something else that we've all got to do. Look at Peter. What does he do? The angel basically punches him in his side, saying, get up quick. Get up quick. He's seated between two guards. The chains are falling off of him. He's making a noise. Now what does he choose to do? He could fake it, put the chains back on, hope that these guys aren't going to wake up. What is he going to do? I'd be terrified. These guys are armed guards with razor-sharp swords strapped to their side. One hack would take off a leg. He's thinking, my shins are exposed. My waist is exposed. He could drive it through his belly and spill his guts all over the prison cell. What does he choose to do? He could sit there or he could stand up. We've got to walk in the word that God gives us. There's a step of faith that Peter takes here. We can read over it. That is terrifying, friends. That is terrifying. To stand up when the person sleeping next to you has the ability to kill you if they hear you making a sound, making a move. Chains falling off all over the place. Prison guards, maybe wrestling in their sleep. What does he do? He stands up and he's like, all right, I'm ready to get out of here. And the angel said to him, dress yourself. He's like, I'm just ready to go. Let's get out of here. Okay, fine. He gets his clothes on. He's like, can I go now? He says, put on your sandals. Okay, gets his sandals on. Can I go now? Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. Okay, fine. Now he's fully dressed, obeying the word of God, step by step obeying. Walks out of the prison door, past two more guards, up to a gate. God opens the gate in front of him. Friends, we've got to walk in the word of God. Some of you, you've heard a revelation from God, but you've put it on the shelf as though it's not that important. Don't treat the word of God like that. God has spoken to you. Don't put it on the shelf. Don't ignore that thing. Walk in it. Put it on your mirror. Let it be the first words out of your mouth. Whatever it is that God has spoken to you, get it in your heart. Get it in. Start to fight for it. Don't take this lying down. The most important thing, if God has given you a word to do something, the most important thing for you to do is do it. That's why our message here is called Living It. It's time for you to do it. Get it in you. God has called you to do it. Start to do it. Get it in your heart. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your door frames. Write it everywhere you can. Put it on your mirror. Speak it over your life. Start to get that thing in you. If it's a scripture verse, memorize it. Put it in your Bible, put it in your notebook, put it in your, just everywhere you can. Every time you open your wallet, it's there. Every time you walk into work, it's there on your desk. Every time you log onto your computer, it's there on your back of your screen. Put it everywhere, get it in you. And then finally, do it. Whatever you can do, start to get that word of God in you and then walk in it. When I returned back to Edinburgh, I was like, God, I've got no finances. I'm beat up. I'm dragged out. I feel like I can't trust people. What can I do? Well, there's always me and there's always the street and there's always the mission. And so I commissioned a big print of 100 flyers. I was like, I think I can personally hand out 100 flyers and I think we can find like the $10 or $20 to do it. Commissioned flyers to invite people to church. And I got out on the street and just started inviting people. I'm like, here we go. I'm just going to walk up to people and say, I'm inviting you to my church. It was like it was like no creativity. It was just like, here's my church and our time. No reason, just there's a church. Marketing was dry. Everything was bad, but people kept coming. People started coming. And in a moment, our church went from financially like falling down the tubes to be able to pay me a full salary, financially breaking through, able to hire new staff. God turned it around, but it was on me to walk in his word. From Genesis chapter 1, God has been partnering with people. God gives them authority. And he delegates to them in Genesis chapter 1. And then in Matthew chapter 28, God delegates authority again. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's time for us not just to be hearers of those words, but doers of those words, to be a disciple and to make a disciple. It's time for us to stop sitting on the fence. It's time for you to get involved in a local church. If we're not local to you, whatever is local, it's time for you to get involved, to have a church that will pray for you when you are feeling imprisoned, to have a church that's going to fight for you so that no rut or no attack of the enemy is going to hold you, that God is going to break you out because you've got friends around you who are praying for you, who are fighting for you. It's time. If you're new here at Every Nation, text us. Text new to our number. If you need to get baptized today in this office, in this space, I got to baptize 7 brand new people. People who are new to the faith, people who have been walking with God for a while, children and adults. God is moving. It's time maybe for some of you to be baptized. Whatever your next step is, it's time to dig in. Let's go together. Today, July 4th, it's Independence Day. For this nation, it signifies freedom from British rule. Today, may this be a day of freedom in your life, signifying the end of demonic oppression, the end of circling that mountain, the end of arrested development, so that you can grow and live and make a difference for God. I'm praying for you. God is good. He's for you and not against you. His plans are to prosper you and not to harm you. Let's trust God. Let's reach out to him. Let's trust others to carry us in prayer and see a breakthrough together. Friends, I love you. I look forward to seeing you in person. We are gathering in this space next week at 11 a.m. So 414 West 51st, you can register at ennyc.info. I look forward to seeing so many of you, new people, people that have found us through the pandemic, old friends, all y'all. We welcome you back right here next week. God, I pray that your grace would be over every person that's watching. That, Lord, you would minister to them a fresh word, that you'd give them strength. Some of them are saying, that sounds great. I don't even have the strength to do that. Lord, that there would be a fresh strength right now to make it onto a prayer call, to make it into a church service, to make it into a connect group. God, to confess where they are with their friends or with their family, or with their connect group leaders. Lord, that we could join together and fight for one another to see the freedom that you purchased on the cross fully expressed through each of our lives, your purposes, your grace, your anointing, pushed through us so that heaven and earth would touch through our lives. Lord, use us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the Messages Podcast with Every Nation NYC. If you enjoyed our message, please rate and review us on iTunes. It helps others hear the message of Jesus, and we really appreciate it. If you have yet to spend time with us in person, we would love to welcome you to one of our services. Visit everynationnyc.org to find all the info you need to attend a service. We will see you there.